This news brief brought to you by the International News Net.
Israel is to test an advanced anti-ballistic missile system in the coming weeks, fueling speculation about preparations for a military confrontation with Iran. The announcement that the first test of the Arrow 3 interceptor system would be performed was made as Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu flew to Washington for a crucial meeting with Barack Obama, at which he is expected to press for a U.S. commitment to military action.
Despite claims by Keystone XL supporters, experts say the tar sands pipeline will not bring down prices at U.S. gas pumps. The proposed pipeline, which would run from Canada to Texas, wouldn't be built until 2014 and at the most would reduce prices by pennies. The U.S. is currently a net exporter of oil.
A new report in the British Medical Journal has found antipsychotic drugs are responsible for killing at least 1,800 dementia patients a year. Researchers from Harvard Medical School tracked more than 75,000 dementia patients living in nursing homes that were prescribed antipsychotic drugs.
Japan's Meteorological Research Institute said Wednesday 40,000 trillion becquerels of radioactive cesium, or twice the amount previously thought, may have spewed from the crippled Fukushima No. 1 reactor. Scientists believe around 30% of radioactive particles discharged during the crisis ended up on land, while the rest fell in the sea. Meanwhile, measurements taken by the U.S. Geological Survey in Bennington, Vermont, showed traces of radiological materials produced by explosions at Fukushima. Researchers estimate it took just 18 days for radioactive particles from Fukushima to circle the Earth.
Billionaire Aubrey McClendon, CEO of Chesapeake Energy, the nation's second largest producer of natural gas, says he sees nothing wrong with the controversial extraction process known as fracking. Fracking has been linked to water, soil, and air contamination that has led to sickness and even death of those living near drilling sites. McClendon pointed out, quote, "We frack all the time. What's the big deal?" Rolling Stone writer Jeff Goodell noted, quote, "Fracking is about producing cheap energy the same way the mortgage crisis was about helping realize the dreams of middle-class homeowners." Goodell went on, "For Chesapeake, the primary profit in fracking comes not from selling the gas itself, but from buying and flipping the land that contains the gas." Adding, McClendon has financed this land grab with junk bonds, complex partnerships, and future production deals, creating a highly leveraged, deeply indebted company.
More details on these stories, visit innworldreport.net.
You're listening to the Logos Radio Network at logosradionetwork.com.
Hi, welcome back. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia. And in the second hour of the show today, I'm bringing you two interviews that I recorded back in February on Radio Skid Row here in Sydney. First interview is with Nick Marinellis, who suffered some really injurious treatment from a major bank here in Australia. And he actually lost a whole lot of his gear that was stored in a completely legal manner on a property that was foreclosed upon by the bank, and he lost a lot of money as a result of that, and he's engaged in a long-running dispute with the bank over it. And it's just such an egregious story of high-handedness on the part of the bank that I thought it was really worth bringing it to you. So that's our first interview today. And then the second one is with a lady by the name of Daisy, whose son had a very strange encounter at Coles, the supermarket here, major supermarket chain. And she'll tell you all about it when we get to that segment. But this is another example of the arrogance and high-handedness of large corporations in terms of the way they treat their customers and in terms of the way they treat children especially. And it's a really disturbing and strange story. So I'll let that story just unfold on its own. So the next hour or so will be taken up with these two interviews. I do hope you enjoy it. And any thoughts or comments, please do visit us at truthnews.com.au. Now I'll just segue into the Skid Row Radio Morning Show where I did those two interviews.
Yeah, so there you go, Radio Skid Row, Workers Radio. We're coming up. We're going to interview with someone at 7:35 there, Herewood Fenton from the Truth News Radio.
We do indeed. We're just waiting for that call to come in.
Mm.
And it should be with us very shortly.
Now, what have you been up to there, Herewood?
I had a pretty intense time lately. I've just been... Yep. Working on my stuff that I do, my research, the scanners. You know, I mean, obviously that's been a big part of my work over the last couple of weeks, is working on this body scanner issue, and also setting up my live show.
We have our guest.
Our guest Nick Marinellis on the line. Nick, are you there?
Yes.
Nick, welcome to Skid Row Radio. It's great to have you aboard today. And now let me just preface this by giving our audience an understanding of the background here. You know, the banks have really been highlighted over the last few years as engaging in all kinds of nefarious practices in terms of the way they deal with loans, the way foreclosures are conducted. And there's been, you know, some spectacular failures in some banking areas, and there's currently a class action against Bank West, which was engaging in some very bad practices, and I believe that that's a very large class action. But what we have on the line here today, Nick, who's got a story which really takes the wickedness of banks to a new level. And what we're actually talking about here is not just mucking around in terms of the way their customers are treated. This is actually mucking around with people who are not even customers of the bank, but acting in a kind of a vigilante way, acting in a kind of gangsterish way to promote their own interests and to, in fact, steal from people who they regard as a soft target, or who they want to, as Nick puts it, teach a lesson. So just with that introduction, Nick, could you possibly give us a bit of background about what happened to you with the bank, and maybe step us through, you know, the key milestones in your saga with the National Australia Bank?
Yes, I can, Hewitt. What it is, I'm very disgusted at the practices of the National Australia Bank in particular. What happened, I entered into a tenancy of a property which I got to like, and I decided I wanted to buy it. The owner expressed to me that he had some financial difficulties with the NAB. Because of my financial knowledge in the background, I was able to negotiate, therefore, with the NAB on his behalf and get into a contract with the owner, of which it was $488,000. As a result, prior to that, my solicitor had tried to liaise with the bank back in the August of that year at $450,000 as the offer, and they were refusing to accept it, to do any dealings with me for some unknown reason. I simply went with the owner. In lieu of my services, he accepted my deposit, and we exchanged contracts with witnesses and solicitors. He in turn turned around and put it to the NAB, and they refused to entertain it. In the meanwhile, I had La Trobe Finance offer me finance. I had the funding already approved, ready to go for this property.
So you were, in a sense, refused service by the bank, and you weren't asking them for a loan. You had the money,
correct,
and you were ready,
yes,
to buy the property. They just didn't want to do business with you.
Absolutely, and I don't know the reason.
And they never gave a reason?
No reason whatsoever, no.
Okay, so then moving on then to the next phase, which I believe what happened was that the property itself which was not you weren't involved in that, but the owner of the property defaulted, and the property went into foreclosure. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. Yes.
And so when it was foreclosed, the property went to auction, and you then again went to the auction and made a bid, which was the highest bid on the auction.
Absolutely correct. That's what I did. Yes. So it was like buying it for the second time.
Right, right. So you made the highest bid, and so technically you would now own that property according to the legal, you know, technicalities of how that works.
Absolutely correct.
When you tried to secure your purchase, what happened?
Well, what happened was I secured my purchase, and I indicated at the time of the check I had a partner, and there was two signatories to the check, and I said, look, you know, I've signed it, I bought it, but the second partner is not here to sign it. And they disregarded my thing, which was illegal, knowing that I could buy a property with just $1. I mean, there's seminars out there so you can buy a property with a dollar. These people insisted to bank the check, and on the technicality breached my contract.
Right, so they wanted to bank a check immediately, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct, yes.
Right, which is not a standard practice. I mean, I'm not an expert in how auctions are run. I probably need to consult with someone else on that. But what you're saying is that that's not a normal practice,
and not
fair from your point of view.
No, it's not, because I had the funding ready to go. I had all intensive purposes to own that property I was running my business from.
Sure, sure.
They have literally destroyed me.
Hi, Nick. Can you specify the time after the auction that is permissible before you have to pay that check? Don't they give you like 3 or 4 days?
They give you approximately up to a week.
Right. Right. So you were told you've got to hand over the check, what, the same day or next day?
On the same day I gave the check to the agent when I exchanged the contract. And simply I said, look, I'm signing it. My partner's not here. There's funding, but don't bank the check.
Sure, sure. I see. So what happened next, Nick?
What happened was, the agent was told not to talk to me by the bank. And the agent then told me afterwards, I went to the office, and the agent told me that the bank official had taken the contract off him to do a private deal.
Right, he'd taken the contract to do a private deal. So you were told this by someone who was in on it?
I was told by Ray White Punchbowl, yes.
Right, oh, okay. So a private deal meaning he was selling it to someone else?
Well, what happened was, at the day of the auction, I saw this family bidding against me at $485,000.
Right.
And they had made intentions that they wanted to take the property that was therefore lying on the property, two containers and a munchie van. And the agent made it clear to them and said to them, this does not belong to the property.
I should just clarify what the munchie van is. I do have a photograph.
Munchie van was a professionally built outfit that won many, many awards. Over the years, it was a prototype sitting there on the property safely up until such time as the NAB Bank decided to entertain bringing all these people to a forum of an auction, exposing my personal belongings there to the general public.
Yeah, and just to clarify, you were a tenant there, and when you made your bid to buy the house initially, you were a tenant, and you weren't in arrears in your payments or anything like that.
I was not a customer of the NAB. I had no dealings with the NAB. I simply was a tenant of a property that I got to like and operate my business, and I just decided I wanted to buy the property, and I was refused the right.
Indeed, And so the van, of course, was on the property, and up until the auction, the van was on the property. And you're saying that this third party that came in had expressed an interest in acquiring that van, and of course it was your property. But so what happened next?
Well, what happened was that at the auction papers, it was detailed on contract that these properties did not belong to that property.
Right.
And that it was clarified. But what happened is the bank went ahead and sold this thing for unbelievably $350,000 to to the same party that was bidding $485,000, which is an illegal practice.
Right. Nick, we've just got a break for a bit of music here. We're a morning breakfast show here and people can have a short concentration span. So we're going to go for a quick song and we'll be right back. Can you hang on with us?
Yes, I can indeed.
Yeah, yep. Cheers, thanks. And you are listening to Truth News Radio Australia, broadcasting on the Logos Radio Network. And you have been listening to a pre-recorded interview that was done back in February on another radio network, which is Radio Skid Row, a community radio station here in Sydney. And I'm just bringing you some highlights from that show. We're just going to break now, but we'll be more after the break. And you can find Truth News Radio Australia on the internet. Just Google it and you'll find it. And we've got a lot of interesting stuff there. We've got articles, we've got podcasts, we've got news, and we've got a pretty lively Facebook page. And we'll be right back after this short break.
America is in trouble.
Washington is a disgrace.
Government has become too big. It's overtaxing, overspending.
We need to change direction.
We really need change.
We can't afford to make the same mistakes we've made in the past.
Mitt Romney's reputation as a flip-flopper.
He went the other way when he got paid to go the other way.
There is need for economic stimulus.
It's about serial hypocrisy.
This election is about trust.
There's been one true, consistent candidate, and that's Dr. Ron Paul.
Ron Paul has been so consistent from the very beginning.
He seems like a more honest candidate.
He tells the truth about what he believes, whether you like it or not.
He's never once voted for a tax increase, never once voted for an unbalanced budget.
Ron Paul's plan is bold, cut five departments. It's what we need.
When he says he's going to cut $1 trillion in the first year, I believe it.
If you don't like how things are going and you're tired of politicians, he's something different.
Ron Paul.
Ron Paul.
Ron Paul.
Ron Paul.
Is the one we've been looking for.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Are you being harassed by debt collectors with phone calls, letters, or even lawsuits? Stop debt collectors now with the Michael Maris Proven Method. Michael Maris has won 6 cases in federal court against debt collectors, and now you can win too. You'll get step-by-step instructions in plain English on how to win in court using federal civil rights statutes, what to do when contacted by phone, mail, or court summons, how to answer letters and phone calls, how to get debt collectors out of your credit report, how to turn the financial tables on them and make them pay you to go away. The Michael Maris Proven Method is the solution for how to stop debt collectors. Personal consultation is available as well. For more information, please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the blue Michael Maris banner or email michaelmaris@yahoo.com. That's ruleoflawradio.com or email michaelmiras@yahoo.com to learn how to stop debt collectors now.
You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now. Hi, welcome back to Truth News Radio. I'll return you now to the interview with Nick Marinellis that was done in Sydney, and after that we'll be playing some of the interview I did with another person on the same radio network. Handing it back over now to Radio Skid Row.
Anyway, so what happened, I was in complete shock that they could do this to me.
Yeah.
And refuse me the right to buy a property. When I had the money to buy it, I had a loan approval on the property. They refused me access to a valuation, which was one of the prerequisite requirements from La Trobe Finance that funded me the property. I had the funding to move along, and they just refused to sell it to me.
Did you get any feedback at all as to why they were refusing to sell
it? They just said, we'll refuse to sell it to Nick Marinellis, blank, on a document of the National Australia Bank.
It's like they're a law unto themselves, and they don't have to provide any reasons. It's to me, it's a bit like going into a restaurant and ordering a meal, and they say, "Well, we're just not going to serve you." I mean, and of course, if that happened, that would be on the front page of the newspaper, you know, because it would be considered prejudice.
Absolutely.
But for some reason, banks can get away with this. Jim wants to say something.
Yeah, Nick, was it the bank doing it, or was it the representatives of the bank doing it? It sounds like it was a setup.
It's still the bank, because the representatives are part of a one institution. They're all the same breed. They're all the same pack of dogs.
Right, that's for sure. But the bank itself...
The legal team of the bank... at the time, Dibbs Barker Solicitors was act for the National Australia Bank. They were working on instructions of the bank, refusing to sell me the property.
Well, then they're agents of the bank, and being agents of the bank is a scumbag.
Absolutely. It doesn't tell you on the fine line that, you know, the banking and the finance institution liaise with dogs out there, you know, gangsters, to go and take your cars, your houses and things like that. It's just a big show.
Right, and that's what happens when foreclosures take place, of course.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, I didn't have a loan with this stupid bank.
Of course, of course. But let's get into now what happened next, because the auction took place, and I believe the property was finally sold for far less than you bid for, $350,000.
Absolutely.
And then something happened to your property.
Well, what happened was I could not understand what was happening. On the day of the auction, these two Lebanese thugs come to me at the front of the house, and it was about 10:30 at night when I went there. You know, I just bought a house. I just wanted to see it, and they drive up in the car and says, "Why?" And they ask me this direct question: "Why did you buy it?" And I just sort of felt uncomfortable, you know. And I said, "I bought it. And what's the difference?" He said, "Oh, we wanted to buy this." It's the same family, the same connection, that somehow through this branch of the NAB Bank, which is predominantly all Lebanese people, done this shifty deal, this illegal deal. I mean, back in August of 2009, I offered $450 and they never accepted it. I offered $488, they never accepted it. How shrewd is it to sell it to these people for $350,000?
Mm. Yeah, the same as the banks. They want is your interest. That's all they want, so they can make money out of you.
But how could they make interest on $350,000?
Yeah, I mean, they're turning down a much better price.
Yeah,
I think they're not. It's not the bank. I think it's just that one bank using the bank's authority to get these people the house.
Yeah, they're doing a favour for some mates.
In other words, the fix is in.
Yeah. And of course, well, what happened next, Nick?
Well, I was jumping up and down.
Yeah.
They basically didn't want to entertain it. I said, "Look, I offered you $450. You give me it's illegal." I called ASIC, and ASIC wanted to walk all over the NAB, but I'm going to be filling up forms to ASIC anyway.
Right.
But the essence is this, is how could this practice happen? I mean, okay, they literally stole a property off me.
Sure, sure.
Black and right in front of my eyes. I can't believe it.
And do you want to get into the issue of what happened to your van now?
Yes, I do indeed.
Okay, so we've only got about 5 minutes left, so we've just got to get...
We've got about three minutes left.
So just really quickly, what actually happened to your van that was stored on the property?
Okay, the van was parked there at the back of the property. It was all operation, had an alarm and everything. I was at a business seminar on that day, and I get a distress call from my missus and basically said, you know, because the kids were going to local school. And she says, and I couldn't answer the phone because I had it switched off because of the seminar.
Sure.
When I got on, there was about 50 calls on the phone because she was in a state of shock.
Yeah.
The van and all my property was broken into, and they robbed me point blank. In fact, I lost everything, and the bank stole everything.
So some thugs came around, broke the locks.
No, they weren't thugs. They were agents of the bank.
And did anyone witness this?
Well, I witnessed. I took photos on the day of the aftermath.
Did anyone witness the actual people who came to take the stuff?
No, by mistake, like a complete by default. Only the other day, I walked past the shop. This is after 13th of September, 2010 of the incident.
Right.
And I find a shop, a second-hand dealer shop, selling my personal property.
Right. So it was taken. It was sold off. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and they had no right. I mean, how could they do this to me?
And, of course, you reported this to the police and you filed an insurance claim against this.
Oh, yeah.
Against
now,
this.
The other thing is Suncorp Insurance is another one that's failing to respond to my claim.
The Sun.
Right, right. So
Suncorp,
so you've,
yeah,
you've had a,
and,
you've had a claim
and,
waiting to, what, how long now?
It's since
2 years?
The 13th of September last 2010. They're still not,
okay.
They're not writing me letters. They're not calling me.
Okay.
And I had a full cover premium, and also the police at Campsie, behold me, I walk into the station to tell them my property's stolen.
Are you up at Campsie, are you? Yep, sorry, keep going.
No, Campsie in Sydney.
All right, yep.
And I see a bloody 52-inch TV set in a police station. How could that be? I mean, we're driving cars on the road, they book us for mobile phones and whatever you are, and here's these people get distracted watching soap operas during work.
Yeah, well... That's, you know,
shit.
They get bored.
That's the police.
And then they have to go out and
bit of McDonald's
rough,
and 2 minute
rough
noodles.
Up punks, you know, and they got to collect all their drug money, which, you know, they get tired from that, so they got to watch TV.
All right, well, listen, we've got to get going. Really appreciate you coming on air. I'll get you the contacts of other people who have been screwed by the banks and have been robbed, the new bank robbers. Remember the days when we thought people who robbed banks are naughty? Well, they're robbing you right up your ass.
Banks are robbing you.
Yeah.
It's the other way around.
Okay.
And we want to find out about that insurance claim because...
insurance claim with Suncorp... I rang them yesterday and I told them I'm going to put you on Skid Row FM. We never heard of that. I said, you'll hear about it. And said, you know, you were taking premiums with false pretenses.
Mm.
You're collecting money like thieves with false pretenses. And you have the hide all this time here, not honouring my insurance. Why?
Absolutely.
No one answered me.
Okay,
and they're much bigger and stronger than me. And they say, well, come and, you know, see us in court.
All right, well, listen, we'll get more in details. We'll get your details down and we'll see how your progress is going. I'm sorry.
Please, I need the public to understand this.
Thanks a lot, Nick.
No,
awesome, Nick.
At all.
Good
yeah,
on you, Nick.
Yeah, cheers.
It's a sad story. Let's hope the insurance company don't come and kick my ass. Workers Radio Sydney on 88.9. Who we got next?
We have a caller, which I'm expecting very shortly.
Yep.
And it's another scandal.
This one's
actually
a different one.
We're back to the supermarkets again.
Supermarkets,
yeah.
We'll find out. She's not very happy, is she?
Coles this time.
All Coles.
Yeah.
Coles with holes.
Yeah. Right. They're a law unto themselves as well. See, the big corporations just basically run everything now.
They are. Workers Radio, we'll be back with Jimmy Herwood and Jack Frost. It is going to rain all week probably and all month. So stay tuned.
And you are listening to Truth News Radio Australia. My name's Herwood Fenton, and today I've brought you a recorded interview there from a Sydney radio station that was done back in February of 2012 with myself and Jack Frost. And we did quite a few shows down there at the Marrickville radio station, and I had a great time. I went in there every week early in the morning on a Thursday, and got to meet some great people and got to do some really interesting interviews. Unfortunately, that did wind up. But now we're bringing this to you on the Logos Radio Network, and you can get a flavour of the life in Australia and the community and the way people think. So I hope you find it enjoyable. After the break coming up, we'll be playing another interview that I did on the same radio show. So please stay with us. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Dancing on the cross as I shall find my way now.
This is Building 7, a 47-story skyscraper that fell on the afternoon of September 11th.
The government says that fire brought it down. However, 1,500 architects and engineers concluded it was a controlled demolition.
Over 6,000 of my fellow service members have given their lives.
And thousands of my fellow first responders are dying.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
I'm a structural engineer.
I'm a New York City correction officer.
I'm an Air Force pilot.
I'm a father who lost his son.
We're Americans, and we deserve the truth.
Go to rememberbuilding7.org today.
Want to hear the world's funniest joke? Really, it's scientifically proven. Psychologist Richard Wiseman tested 40,000 jokes and found the one that tickled a universal funny bone. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll be back with the winner in just a moment.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights. Say no to surveillance and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This message is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
And now, the world's funniest joke. Two hunters are out in the woods when one of them collapses. He doesn't seem to be breathing and his eyes are glazed. The other guy whips out his cell phone and calls 911. My friend is dead, he gasps. What should I do? The operator says, calm down, I can help. First, make sure he's actually dead. There's a silence, then a shot rings out. Back on the phone, the guy says, okay, now what? Get it? Wiseman says this joke is a winner because it appeals to people in many different countries, appeals to both sexes, and gets laughs from both young and old alike. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartPage.com, the world's most private search engine.
Welcome back, you're with Truth News Radio Australia, and I'm bringing you some interviews conducted in Sydney in February 2012. The second interview is with Daisy, whose son had a very strange encounter at the Coles supermarket. So just handing you back over to Radio Skid Row with myself, Jack Frost, and Daisy.
That's a pretty rocky song. You listen to Workers Radio Sydney on 88.9 Radio Skid Row. Ooh, yeah. Your favourite community radio station. March the 12th is when I'm pissing off. I'll be going to higher heavens after this, but I'll still be with Radio Skid Row and I'll still be doing interviews. But today's weather is absolute rain. March all the way. It's going. It's the 1st of March. I hope you all got rid of your history from Google. Google's got this private setting thing where they can gather all this information. We'll talk about that afterwards. But we have a special guest on the radio here with us on Radio Skid Row. We've got Daisy Herold.
Yeah, look, you know, we've been talking about some of the issues of corporations acting out of control, and we've been talking earlier about Woolies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, quite often what actually seems to be happening with the mega corporations now is that they're acting as a law unto themselves. And, you know, they're supposed to basically abide by the laws, and they are a legal entity.
And give communities sort of donations and stuff like that to make themselves look good.
Well, yeah, technically they should, you know, well, that's up to them if they do that. But anyway, the point is that what has actually happened now with the huge concentration of power and monopolies that these mega corporations have is that I think they just come to think, well, we're just effectively the government. You know, and we can have our own kind of laws, and we can have our own kind of police, and we decide what happens. And
And, you know, you've seen this with the bank in the story we were talking about there before. They just say, well, we're not going to sell this to you. And they just come and steal people's property because they, you know, they think they've got the right to do that. They think they can basically do anything. Of course, with the supermarkets, with the giant monopolies there, they're just crushing any kind of independent business. But also with the basics card, they're now monopolizing the monetary system as well. But it gets worse than that. In the supermarkets, there are practices going on which are quite obnoxious. And today we have Daisy on the line to tell a story about what happened to her son. Now, her son, 13 years old, was in the supermarket, was browsing through the aisles in the kind of shampoo toiletries area, and he came across a little box, and I've got a photograph of it here. Which I think I've showed to you before, and I'll put this up on my website.
But, yeah, I'll put it on Workers Radio. What is it?
It's called a Durex Pleasure Box.
Oh, yeah, Durex Pleasure Box, yep.
And it says Pleasure Max condoms, play vibrations ring.
Right, where's this?
Yeah. And this is actually, you know, on the shelf next to the shampoo. Now,
Daisy.
Pointing at there.
No, I was just saying that we've got Daisy on the line. Yeah.
No, we do, but hang on, I haven't finished my introduction yet.
All right.
I do long introductions.
Oh, I've bloody noticed.
Now, the point is that the young man concerned had a look at the box and, you know, was opening it, and he suddenly felt the cold arm on the back of his neck squeezing him, and he was dragged off to a little room. Now, I'll now just welcome Daisy to the show to pick up the story from where I left off there, Jim, you're welcome to ask some questions, but let's let Daisy start first, and we'll get the story. Daisy, over to you. You got the floor.
Hi. well, on the 24th at 4 p.m., I received a call from a security covert that was at the Coles supermarket saying that my son had stolen a vibrating cock ring. A vibrating cock ring.
And
a
this
sex toy, an adult sex toy.
Right.
Was that the word they actually used, or?
I think it was adult sex toy.
Okay.
But it was, so, and this was, and who rang you? Coles.
Coles.
Right. They're selling vibrating cock rings. All right, keep going.
Apparently so, yes. When I had, I got down to Coles and my son and his friend was being held in a security room downstairs in the back of Coles. And the man showed me the Dulux adult toy.
Yeah, Durex, I believe.
Durex, yes. Sorry. Mm. Durex. Sorry. Durex with the condoms attached. And I said, well, no. I looked at the box. I wasn't happy. And I said, well, what did they do? And then he said what it came down to is that he assumed they were going to steal it.
Yeah, bear in mind, your son is in the aisle. He hasn't attempted to leave the shop.
He hasn't stolen anything. Aisle. What it was, it's 13-year-olds. And the security guard did tell me, he said that we have a big problem with teenage years coming in here to target that particular box. And I what? Thought, okay, but my son's got money on him, so did his friend, and, you know, and they had opened it to look at this adult toy.
Oh, so they opened the package,
They opened just the plastic on the outside. They didn't, and they looked at the vibrating cock ring.
Yes.
And they didn't open anything else.
Right.
And as they were looking, the man came and grabbed them and grabbed my son very firmly on his shoulder, back, dragged them down into the office, and I wanted them to confess that they were going to steal this adult toy.
Now, can you just hang on there?
I just want to say something I just want to say something. So, 13-year-old and your 13-year-old son and his friend.
Very curious
boys. I was curious when I was 13. If they're selling sex cock rings in Coles, and if this is right, I would be opening. This is for men, yeah.
That's right. I would 18 years plus is the law.
Now, right. Now, 13, your hormones are sort of freaking out. And yes. As a boy, I remember I was at boarding school, and God knows what we used to do when we go to shopping malls and stuff like that. That was back then. Indeed. So this security guard, and they just opened the package. A security guard came in, grabbed your son and your son's friend. And then roughed him down to the bunkers of Coles.
That's right. All right. Security room. And held them there.
Right.
Against their will. Was never given an option to pay for the product, which is against the law.
Right. Yep, definitely.
The first option he should have said to them, he said, are you going to pay for this? He didn't ask them that. He just wanted them. He wrote up a statement, wanted my son to sign the statement. My son refused, was crying his eyes out. My son kept repeating, no, he wasn't intending to steal it. Then while I was sitting there, the same behaviour went on, and he was trying to get my son to confess to a crime that he wasn't intending to commit.
Now, normally when supermarkets are trying to intercept shoplifters, they do it at the exit because that is where it is actually a crime. If you go through the checkout with something hidden in your pocket, then they can actually arrest you and charge you. They didn't do it this way. We have a reason, you've suggested a reason as to why, because what they're actually selling here is not technically, they're not meant to be selling this type of thing in the supermarket.
It's not meant to be on the shelf. This is not a glow-in-the-dark, you know, novelty.
Yeah, exactly.
This is not a novelty.
It's not a novelty shop.
Let's make that very clear.
It's a supermarket.
I had rang adult
shops. Fruit and vegetables in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, this security guard's a vegetable with a two-digit IQ. Jim wants to say something.
You can sue the security guard and Coles.
This is not America, man. We haven't got up to that stage yet.
No, you can, even here.
All right.
Even here.
All right, well, listen, we're going to go on to a song, Daisy. Can you just hold for a sec? Yeah, there you go. Orgasm Addicts by the band The Buzzcocks. You're listening to Workers Radio Sydney on 88.9 Radio Skid Row. We've got Daisy on the line, which has had her 13-year-old son, who was investigating in a big corporation called Coles, which is your fruit and veg place. You get all sort of, you know what Coles is all about. Anyway, her son and her...
The full family service.
The full family service. Now, he was investigating a 13-year-old boy with heaps of hormones and everything else, was investigating and looking at a package of a, what is it, Daisy?
Sex toy. Well,
a sex toy. So they're selling
vibrating adult sex toy.
Now this is
batteries included.
And now he got harassed by a security guard, actually grabbed by a security guard and brought down to the bunkers of Coles. Now someone's given me, I've just got a lot of feedback. Some woman just gave me a text and said, obviously I've been looking at the wrong store, which is, you know...
Or the wrong aisle.
The wrong aisle, yep, exactly. So, and there's someone else who's absolutely disgusted with this. They should sort of sue the security guard or Coles for doing this, because the fact is he harassed a minor, which is a big thing. Now, a police...
He breached all my son's rights.
Yeah.
And he, you know, what the security done was illegal. He tried to save his job by trying to coerce them into a statement that he had written and wanting my son to sign a false statement.
Right,
exactly.
The security guard had nothing. All he had was two young lads looking at an adult sex vibrating cock ring that shouldn't even be sold on the shelf of Coles.
Now, Daisy, I've got another photograph here that I took. It's called a trespass notice.
Right.
This is a form that you showed me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was issued by Coles.
We're having a look at it now, yep.
Yeah, and it says on the top of it, it says Coles trespass notice. Okay, we're just about to go to break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia, playing you some interviews conducted here in Australia. Hope you're enjoying it. We'll be back right after this break.
City bombing. Top 10 reasons to question the official story. Reason number 2, why was the ATF AWOL? Paramedic Tiffany Bible, who was on the scene within 5 minutes, has stated in an affidavit that agents of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms told her that they were not in their office that morning. EMT Catherine Mallett also overheard one agent say to another, quote, "Is that why we got the page to not come in today?" End quote. Bruce Shaw, as interviewed on KFOR-TV, was also told by ATF agents that they had been paged to not come into work. The ATF initially denied these claims and now variously claim that one of their agents was in a free-falling elevator, which has been disproven, or that they had been in an all-night stakeout, or that they had been at a golf tournament. As they try to sort out their lies, all we want to know is, did the ATF receive a warning, and if so, why did they not pass it on to others in the Merv level? For more information, go to OKCBombingTruth.com.
Are you the plaintiff or defendant in a lawsuit? Win your case without an attorney with Jurisdictionary, the affordable, easy-to-understand 4-CD course that will show you how in 24 hours, step-by-step. If you have a lawyer, know what your lawyer should be doing. If you don't have a lawyer, know what you should do for yourself. Thousands have won with our step-by-step course, and now you can too. Jurisdictionary was created by a licensed attorney with 22 years of case-winning experience. Even if you're not in a lawsuit, you can learn what everyone should understand about the principles and practices that control our American courts. You'll receive our audio classroom, video seminar, tutorials, forms for civil cases, pro se tactics, and much more. Please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the banner or call toll-free 866-LAW-EASY.
When you're sick of the propaganda, when you're over the disinformation, when you can't stand the deception, when the deceit gets too much, when the spin becomes transparent, you know where to turn. You turn on truthnews.com.au with your hosts, Harold Fenton and Joshua Jackson.
And we're into the final segment of the second hour now, and I'm continuing with the interview there with Daisy. And as you can see, it's quite an alarming story, quite an outrageous one indeed. And I'd be very interested to know if anyone out there has had similar experiences, if they have children who've found things in the supermarket and gotten into trouble for it. Certainly would like to know. So handing it back over to Skid Row Radio and our interview with Daisy.
And then it's got his name on there. Then it says, "This is to formally advise you that you are no longer welcome in Coles and under the Act code applicable to the state or territory below, this company now forbids you from entering or remaining on the premises which it carries on business. The police will be informed of this notice, and should you enter the premises without having a lawful reason to be there and without the express written consent of the store, or should you remain in the store after having been ordered to leave the store, you will be viewed as a trespasser and the police will be called and may take action against you for trespassing." Now, what I find interesting about this notice is that it says under the Act/code applicable to the state or territory. Well, what act or code is there applicable to someone who didn't steal anything, who might have opened a packet, but that is not actually a crime as long as you pay for it?
Which
they were not given the opportunity to do so. So he has committed no crime. Therefore, this trespass notice is completely legally invalid.
The thing I think you have to realize, and I did security guarding and did the course.
You've done a lot of jobs.
Is that a security guard is only there to observe and report.
Isn't it?
If the minute you put a hand on somebody, that's assault.
Well, I heard that someone just gave me a call that police, if with the minor, the parents have got to be there as well.
That's right.
Yep. So
the fact that the security guard tried to get my son to sign a statement without a parent or a guardian with him.
Yes.
That has got to be a breach of some law.
It is a breach of law.
It has to be a breach of law.
He's forced. These laws in place. Mm. I mean, let's face this. Australia's put these laws in place.
Mm.
Not for Coles to come along and break the laws.
Mm.
These laws have been well thought out laws in our country to protect minors and to protect stores. This is why there are adult sex shops. That is why over 18 go into an adult sex shop. They do not go into Coles. Mm. You cannot enter an adult sex shop under 18 years of age. This is where this vibrating sex toy should be sold.
I thought sex
toys... meant to be sold. And what is Coles breaking into the sex industry now?
Well, is it illegal to sell sex toys? Isn't it 18
well,
and above?
Well, it's very clearly on the side of the box. And it says warning, this product is for adults only.
And so at 13 you'd think you'd be an adult if you wanted to go have a look at it? I'm sure of it.
I mean, the message is, what are we saying to the children? Coles's conduct in this matter is appalling. I mean, they've broken the law. One, they've broken the law by putting this toy on the shelf, this adult sex toy. Two, they've broken the law by what they've done to my son. Also, by breaking the law, by trying to get him to sign a confession without an adult or parent or guardian with him to cover up for what they've already done. Had they followed the laws...
Yes, well, he is a minor. And
this
so
wouldn't have happened.
His confession,
the law is 18 years of age. How does my son or a five-year-old can go in, pick up this box and buy it?
Of course, yeah.
This is a scary part about it, and I think that it affects all of us. And what are we saying to our children by having this on the shelf? Are we bringing up, you know, a society of young children? Are we passing the message that, you know, we want you to start having sex young? No, we don't. You know, where are their morals? I mean,
yeah.
Well, we're supposed to trust Coles. They advertise themselves as a family store. There's nothing family about this.
Especially if they're selling cock rings.
But, you know,
vibrating
this,
ones.
What this highlights, again, is this way in which the corporations and the government basically have merged, so they're indistinguishable. And, you know, really what's happened is that the police are just an adjunct to the security services. And distortions have been put in place in terms of the way the law operates to allow supermarkets to prosecute people very easily, because obviously, you know, and shoplifting is an issue, but then again,
they've opened their own doors to it, haven't they?
Have they not broken the law? You have this big place
this
with lots of stuff on the shelves, and people
simple.
Can easily grab stuff. Sorry.
See, I think you can even get that guard, well, one, for accosting the child, two, on pedophilia. That he did grab the child, took the child. Where was he taking him?
With a cock ring.
With a cock ring in his hand.
It just sounds disgusting. Have you done anything about this, Daisy? Have you done?
I've contacted your radio station. I think that's a good start.
I think so. I think you should go.
I've also contacted adult sex shops, and they've all explained to me the same thing. They've all said that they're not allowed to sell these to minors. This is the law.
They don't
understand why Coles is going into the sex industry.
Correct.
That's what their shops are designed for, their adult sex shops. That's what they're designed for. We need to feel safe. If I send my children down to Coles to get a loaf of bread and a carton of milk, our basics, do they have to have this sex toys or whatever in front of their faces? Is it necessary that Coles has that there?
Well, look, if they're gonna do that, the problem here is, they possibly are violating a statute there. But then the problem there is that they're covering that up, and they're not admitting, it's not transparent what they're doing, because they're completely, the police aren't even involved. Now, I don't know, Jim, you used to be a security guard. What is the normal procedure for apprehending a shoplifter?
Well, you have to let them go outside for them to be a shoplifter. In other words, they have snuck through the facilities for collecting cash.
That's critical, isn't it?
That's
essential.
Most critical.
Yeah.
Because when you're in the store, how are you shoplifting?
Yeah, exactly.
You're in the store. You're out there to buy
something.
That's the
whole thing. He didn't shoplift. He didn't conceal. He didn't anything. He was out in the open. Nothing was put in pockets or bags.
What is the actual procedure, though? Like, let's say someone does go through the checkout with something. What actually happens then?
You're supposed to stand in front of them and stop them.
As a security...
You're not allowed to grab them, touch them,
really?
Or anything else. You're there to... The law is specific.
Yeah, it's specific. Yeah. And as a security guard, guarding space, that's your job.
Yeah, you can. You're
the guard space.
Right.
Right.
They're there to observe and report.
Report to the court.
Observe and report to the police.
You're not allowed to put a hand on them ever?
No, and not allowed to touch anyone.
Right.
Oh, well,
now, as a security guard guarding space, which would be very boring, do you do false flag attacks in sort of places? Well, you know, like firefighters, you know.
No.
You know, causing fire in a bush because they get bored?
Not really.
Or to justify their jobs?
To justify their jobs,
oh,
exactly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, you mean the more...
Because this security guard's obviously something...
We have... right now, the security guard industry is full of Long Bay graduates.
Oh, that's... Look, I've been unemployed for quite a while, and they gave me a security course, but I failed the two-digit course. Two-digit intelligence course.
Two-digit.
So I'm one-digit intelligence now. Anyway, this is we've got to wrap it up. Daisy,
the best fact is that he didn't steal anything. His intention was never to steal.
He's just
observing. They broke the law by having a vibrating cock ring on shelf. They're not supposed to. They're supposed to be in adult shops. This is why. And also the security guard, we have to remember, he said to me, that they've got an ongoing issue with teens coming into the shop targeting this particular pleasure box that contains the vibrating cock ring. Mm. Now, there's a lot of kids going in to look at this.
Well,
it's not funny. It shouldn't be there. And if they didn't breach the law by having this there, this wouldn't be happening.
I wonder if Coles is selling Playboy magazines as well. That'd be interesting to have a look at. Have you got a partner or husband who is involved with this as well?
No.
Okay.
That's fine. Look, Daisy, it's been great having you on, and we'll be getting, you know...
Well, get an update.
I'll put the information on Truth News website about this, including your account that you've written of it, including the photographs that we've got. And, of course, I'll blank out any personal details, but I'd actually like to put the trespass notice there so people can see what that is
that
as well.
That was another legal document. Illegal. Illegally written.
Yeah.
So what's your thing there, Daisy? What are you going to do after this? Are you going to go out there and report this?
I think I'm going to have a talk to Heward.
All right. If there's any lawyers out there that could give you any information, you know.
That might be helpful, I think.
We're putting it out there for Daisy. Give us a call on 955-09552. Daisy, thank you for coming on Workers Radio,
thank
and we'll keep an update of what's going on, yeah?
Thank you very much.
How's your son doing? Is he all right over this, or has he found this?
He's highly embarrassed. They're of an age where they get very embarrassed. As you know, you were 13. Very sorry that he opened a plastic topping to look into the box as he was curious.
Yeah.
And he said they were curious, but they had never an intention to steal anything.
Sounds like this...
it was curiosity, and that's all it was, and children get curious.
Thanks, Daisy. Good on you. Thanks for coming on Radio Skid Row.
Thank you very much.
I was curious once.
I'll bet you were. And I'll bet you, Jimmy, did you work as a sex shop security guard?
No, I didn't have that.
Which space were you guarding?
Oh, usually buildings, places where other security guards were.
Prop shops, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, we'll be back. Workers Radio. This one's going out to Mr. Ann Anderson.
They call me White Devil. Black Jesus, heaven closing, hell freezing, egos tripping, scripts keep flipping, blasts keep blooding, crips keep ripping.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's where we're going to have to leave it for today. I do hope you enjoyed that show, or at least found it different. It's a taste of life here in the suburbs of Sydney, Australia. Truth News Radio Australia will be back next week. I will be away, but in the seat will be Josh Jackson for the whole 2 hours, and he'll be doing the show in his own unique way. I do hope you enjoy it, and I hope you tune in. And if you have a chance, please take a look at our website at truthnews.com.au and our Facebook page and leave us a message. We'd love to hear from you. Over and out from Truth News Radio Australia.
Would you like to make more definite progress in your walk with God? Bibles for America is offering a free study Bible and a set of free Christian books that can really help. The New Testament Recovery Version is one of the most comprehensive study Bibles available today. It's an accurate translation, and it contains thousands of footnotes that will help you to know God and to know the meaning of life. The free books are a three-volume set called Basic Elements of the Christian Life. Chapter by chapter, Basic Elements of the Christian Life clearly presents God's plan of salvation, growing in Christ, and how to build up the church. To order your free New Testament Recovery Version and Basic Elements of the Christian Life, call Bibles for America toll-free at 888-551-0102. That's 888-551-0102. Or visit us online at bfa.org.